Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello everyone and welcome to a live show of Club Debt Corner as we bring you a bit of an Old Firm debrief, and we'll also look ahead to the possible game against Dundee, but that is very much for later in the show. Joining me to pick up the pieces to go over everything that happened on Sunday early afternoon. First off, Ali Pearson, how are you?
Not too bad. Still looking after this puppy at the moment, Carney, so it's... It's quite tiring, to be honest, but yes, I'm here tonight anyway.
Yeah, well, I did warn you. I warned you. I said you're like you're not the keenest in having actual humans as babies, and I thought, mate, our puppies can be just as difficult. It really can. And Nicky Oven, who is actually a dad again, who's actually got three little humans to look after. Nicky, how's it going, mate?
And a dog, by the way.
And a dog. Ali, he wipes the floor with the both of us. Yeah, he really does.
I've got a busy household, mate. But nah, what is she? Six days old now. It's been all right. Six days, by the way. Touch wood. So I don't know if she's luring us into a false sense of security and all hell's going to break loose. But I've obviously got two boys already. They have been very much opposite ends of the spectrum. My first one was a dodo. My second one was hell on earth. So she's more in Harris's zone at the minute, but we'll wait and see.
Yeah, magic, mate. No, it's good to have you back, and I appreciate your missus letting you away from dirty diapers and warming up milk and that, mate, sterilising bottles, all that kind of stuff. I've been there not too long ago myself, mate, but yeah, to have three, I always say, did you not learn your lesson from the first one? That's what I'll always say. Anyway, before we get any further into it, just a wee plug for our live show. Our end of season show will be live at the Loudoun on Friday the 31st of May 2024. Obviously, tickets are £10. There is still tickets available. Doors will be, I think, about 6. We're on from 7:30 till 10 o'clock. There'll be a raffle. We'll be raising money again for the Charity Foundation. Some really cracking prizes. I've been in contact with the Charity Foundation already, so some of the stuff is cracking. Really looking forward to the night. If you come along, you could be celebrating a very triumphant season for Rangers. But if not, I'm sure you'll still enjoy our end of season live show. I say tickets are £10. There is still tickets available. You can scan that QR code that's on the screen right now, or if you go to the link, in the description for this podcast, you'll be able to get your tickets there. Very much look forward to seeing you all there. Only one place to start tonight, gentlemen. Ali, I forgot to say to you, because we're dead professional, if you could do comments for me while I try and talk sometimes, that would be quite nice, mate, even though I'm talking to Nicky. So we will get to it. Everybody will get your comments. Good to see you, everybody. Good to see everybody in the chat, some of the usual regulars. And we're not always live on a Tuesday, but I thought, just based on, we were recording a wee bit later tonight, and since we have quite a bit to get through, there'll be a lot of opinions on different things that happened after Sunday's Old Firm. So we thought we'd get your input as well. So very much looking forward to seeing what you have to say about the... Before we get into the game, Nicky, I'll come to you first. Thoughts on the result? We will go into the match in greater detail, mate, but what team do you think would be happier after Sunday? Is a point gained or two dropped, in your opinion?
It's probably a difficult one, mate. I think we spoke about it a lot. I think it was quite weird because we almost had that kind of week's build-up to it. I think typically we Old Firms, you maybe have a midweek fixture, you maybe get Europe that takes a wee bit of the attention away, but it was a full week, a build-up to this game. So obviously the three of us and obviously Jamie and Ryan spoke a lot in the WhatsApp. I think prior to the game, I'd said it. I think a few of you guys had said it. I felt it was a win or bust, to be honest. I think I felt at the time that to to win a title and having played three Old Firms, two at home and not having won any of them, I felt was always going to be quite difficult. So I think prior to the match, I was disappointed. But I think, again, with the power of hindsight, where we were at half-time, I mean, I thought it was done, right? Ali, I think you put it in a chat as well that it was over at 2-0 when that penalty went in. I thought there's no chance we're coming back for this. With how bad we played that first half, right? I was the worst I've seen Rangers. And I think you boys said it in the post-match. I'm not even convinced it's the worst I've seen us under Clement. I think it might have been the worst I've seen us in probably about a year. Honestly, that first half performance was that bad. Even looking back at some of the poor performances under Beale, I honestly thought we were that bad. And I get, right, there's a caveat. The weather was pretty bad, right? Even when I played football, right, there's nothing worse than the wind. I can play in rain, but the wind just completely disrupts games. It is a leveller, and it did look pretty horrific conditions, but it happens for both teams, right? Celtic would have been impacted by the wind as well. They seem to deal with it better, particularly that first half. I don't know if it was the way the wind was moving or what, but I think prior to the game, yeah, I think it was 2 points dropped. I think given where we were at half-time, we'll be happy. I think given we managed to claw back a point, we've still got the option to go top, or the opportunity, sorry, to go top on Wednesday night. But likewise, I think they'll be quite happy as well, Scott. I think they've been to Ibrox twice now. They've played three Old Firms. They've not lost any of them. They've still got it well within their hands as well. So I actually think both managers would have been relatively happy with the result, particularly Clement, given where we were at halftime.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. I think, Ali, there's been a bit of a kind of mixed feeling on it all. I think there's some fans that are quite disappointed with not getting the win and kind of seeing it as it was a kind of must win. And I don't want to be a hypocrite and sit here and say that I didn't say that beforehand, because I did. I said that Rangers must win that game. However, it's easy to, even when we make predictions before games, we always say you kind of make a prediction and you're just taking a stab in the dark at it. But this one was a wee bit different for me, where I thought if we've got any real aspirations of winning this title, I felt like a victory was essential. Again, though, however, when you actually take the context of the game into it, I agree with Nicky. I did not see Rangers getting back into that game, not after the first half that we'd witnessed. And I almost conceded myself to thinking this is maybe damage limitations. There was a wee bit of criticism from some about Rangers doing a kind of lap of honour or thanking the fans at the end of the game. I think, Ali, we need to remember where we were at the start of this season. We sacked a manager 3 months into this season. What Clement has done for this Rangers team is remarkable, genuinely remarkable. We probably shouldn't be in the position that we are in. And I think we deserve the credit for that. And the players deserve the credit for it, for responding to Clement. So, as I say, 48 hours on-ish, mate, from the game itself and since we've done a post-match, what's your feelings on it now? Has anything changed for you?
Having time to think about it, I'm the same with as Nicky and you, Carney. Going into the game, I'd be a hypocrite if I didn't say this. I said to you boys, Rangers had to win that game for me to win the title. And they didn't. The context of the game, yeah, we got a draw when I thought no chance. At halftime, I thought it was dead and buried. I didn't see us getting anything, to be honest. To get a draw, get with Jill slightly, but for me, Celtic's in the diving seat now, if I'm being blatantly honest about it, Carney, because they've got a better run of games. They've got more home games coming up. They've got us at Ibrox. At Parkhead. Rangers don't fill me with confidence going to Parkhead because they haven't done it. But when we talk to a few, obviously you're the same at Carney, but you'll speak to a few of them as well, but they're disappointed because they were 2-0 up, and rightly so. Probably should have went on and won that game, to be honest, at half-time. They've drawn it, but they would have taken a draw, Carney, at the start of that game, I think. I think they really would have. For us, I think we had to win psychologically as well. A lot of people could say, aye, if you draw and you win tomorrow night, you go 2 points clear. But I just thought psychologically we had to win it, and we didn't. And I just thought they let us down big style in the first half, Carney. How many times do we need to give Celtic a start before we react? We need to react for the first whistle, Rangers, against Celtic, and we just don't seem to do it, Carney. So overall, I'll be honest, was disappointed, extremely disappointed, and it's going to go to the wire. We had a big chance on Sunday there to really, really put it into Celtic, and we didn't again.
I get it. I do understand that. I do. I think I'm probably more looking at the game itself, I think, as a whole, and what happened. And yeah, I didn't wake up the following day kind of disappointed that there was a draw. I thought, well, we are still in it. We do still have this game in hand. It's still in our hands. I mean, I think the next Old Firm game, this one was billed as the biggest one ever. The next one's probably going to be just as big. I think there'll be drop points before that, whether it be us, whether it be them. I think maybe both. I think there's potential for both to potentially drop points before then. I don't think it's going to solely come down to that, but it's going down to the wire. As the roller coaster that we've been on for this month or so, it doesn't seem to be ending anytime soon. Charles, thank you so much. That's very much appreciated. Sorry, Ali, you can do it. I'm sorry. But yeah, that's fantastic. Charles, thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate the donation. That's very, very kind of you. Oh, quickly, who did we meet? Gordon. Ben. Met Gordon on the club deck. And Ben. Yeah, Ben. Met Ben in the boozer. Ben, you're a gentleman of a lad, as was Gordon. Lovely to speak to both of you. It really was. It was great to have a chat with you and share a beer with Ben as well. That was brilliant. Nicky, into the game itself. We started in the worst possible fashion. I mean, it was like... it is a freak goal to an extent. It's still very poor from Tavernier. I've watched the game back now, and Tav kind of makes a gesture as in there's no trouble, don't worry about it, as if he doesn't know that Maeda's going to chase that ball, as if he thinks he isn't going to, he's run into the ball. By the time that he comes to, he should be a couple of yards closer to the ball than what Maeda is, but due to the way that he started his initial run, I don't think anybody would have expected him to turn around and boot it off him for it to go into the back of the net. And Butland was caught flat-footed as well, and it goes into the back of the net. A poor goal for Rangers to concede. Poor by James Tavernier, but a freak goal nonetheless. It was the worst start imaginable in all my nightmares that I have about Old Firm games. You could not have expected the game to start like that. But Nicky, I thought for maybe 20 minutes after that, we really struggled to regain any sort of composure in the game. And I thought it really did shake Rangers, and I think it kind of shook the whole Ibrox.
I actually laughed genuinely when I went in, because it was one of the ones where it's like, see, if you don't laugh, you'd end up greeting, right?
Yeah, no, I know.
As you say, how many times are we going to give this mob a head start or give them gifts? Celtic, this is the problem. Celtic are obviously a very good team, right? They are a good side. They create lots of chances. They've got players who can hurt us, but they don't need to work that hard to score goals against Rangers. They honestly don't. They do not need to work that hard to score goals. They need to work far harder to score goals against teams like Kilmarnock, Hearts, Hibernian. They do not need... We constantly give them gifts. And for Tavernier, again, I remember seeing the gesture. I think, to be honest, when the ball comes over from Hart's clearance, I actually think Diamandé does something with his hands as well, to the same effect of it's either running through or we don't need to worry about it. But see, as your captain, take ownership, right? You're 20 seconds into the game. Take ownership. Put it in row Z. Put it back to the keeper. Tav has psychological... impacts with Maeda. Like, Maeda has given him a nightmare a lot of times now. I don't think Maeda's particularly a good player. What I do think, Maeda's one of the best players in this league without the ball, right? And that's not been... And I don't like giving their players a lot of praise, right? But he is one of the best in this league without the ball, right? He's running, he's tracking, he's chasing down. He is very, very good at it. And he's given Tav real problems over the last couple of years that he's been here, and I do think there is an element of he's in his head a wee bit. I think any other game, Tavernier just comes on his left side, plays that back to Butland, the ball goes up the park and Rangers recover, right? But I don't know what it is. He just looked nervous. Again, I say maybe the wind has moved the ball in a way that he maybe didn't expect it to, but take ownership, get the ball back to Butland, put it out the park, whatever it is you need to do. And to be honest, I think 20 minutes is maybe been kind, Scott, because it was right up at the death of the first half, I felt, before we started getting our acting gear. Because in James Tavernier, I can't remember James Tavernier doing anything in their half that first half. genuinely. I can't remember him offering anything from an attacking sense, and defensively he was really, really poor, because I think about 15 or 20 minutes later, Jack Butland pulls off an unbelievable stop from a Matt Riley header. Again, it's Tav dilly-dallying on the ball, kind of get his touch under control. Maeda robs him. They end up going up the park. Butland's forced to make a big stop. Connor Goldson, 15 minutes later or so again, can he get his touch under control? O'Reilly takes the ball off him and he just falls to the ground. It's never a free kick in a million years, and he got it. And again, it's one of the ones where you go, we've got off with one there, because otherwise O'Reilly's going through clean on goal again. So it really did shook us. And there is an element of how much scar tissue is there with people like James Tavernier and Goldson in these fixtures, that they just panic. I think the movement and the pace of people like Kyogo and Maeda really frightens them. And I think the biggest issue for me was that the lack of Yilmaz meant we had to reshuffle the pack. I felt that if we had everybody fit, we should have had Dujon Sterling on that right wing, because I felt he could offer protection to Tavernier. He'll track back, he's strong, he's aggressive, he's really quick. He could have matched Maeda and he could have freed up Tav. But Scott Wright, I'm sure we'll come on to him. Ali and I moan about him all the bloody time, right? He offers nothing. He honestly offers nothing. He offers no protection. And even when Tav is under the cosh, go and help him out. Dig him out. Help him. See if he's struggling a wee bit. Help him. Give him 5-10 minutes. Go back. Make yourself get in shape. Secure yourselves. Give him a wee bit of support. But we just get nothing for him. And it just descended into utter chaos for what was the rest of that half, to be honest.
Yeah, Ali, I think Tav didn't recover well at all from that initial goal, and I do agree. I think he's performed well against Maeda. He's struggled against him more than he succeeded against him. That's probably the nicest way I can put it. And I don't think he recovered. We also, in that first half, kind of looked spooked by the press. And I'm like, as if we didn't know that's what they were going to do. That's what they do. They've got three fast front players and they just press you. That's their game. It is what they do. And we struggled to cope. But Nicky's spot on. Goldson should do better with his chance. Goldson keeps the score respectable and keeps us in it, really. What did I say? Goldson there? Butland, I meant to say. Butland kept us in it for the half, but the penalty as well, this summed up Conor Goldson's day for me. I see when you watch it back, it doesn't half look clumsy, Ali. Honestly, I know he's misjudged the ball. His arm is out. It hits him in the elbow. It's a penalty. Like the rule or don't like the rule, it's a penalty. And we go in 2-0 at half time. On the concourse, mate, at half time, I was going, we're out of this.
I said to you, I couldn't see us scoring one, let alone two, to be honest. I just couldn't see it. I thought we'd go to jail. I really did at half-time. That could have been 3-4-0 easily at half-time. Celtic were by far the better team, Carney. Without, and we both said it, without having to get out of second gear, because we looked scared on the ball, Carney, like you say.
Yeah, I've also seen that. Sorry, Ali, I've seen people praising Celtic for being like really good, and I'm like, I don't think they were that good. No, I'm not saying that like they were much better than us. I'm not saying we didn't lay a glove on them in that first half. We weren't even close to laying a glove on them on that first half. But I didn't think they were like at their best. Do you know what I mean? But then again, I said to you at halftime, I was going, I don't think they're even out of second gear. I really don't.
They're not, but I thought they came with a game plan, and I thought they executed it well, to be honest, the first half. I thought the press, I mean, they've got quick guys up front that can do that press, and we just struggled. It was like a hot potato, Carney, for us.
Yeah.
We just looked a bit timid on the ball. We kept giving it away all the time, and it wasn't the Rangers I thought I was going to see in that first half. I honestly thought Rangers would come out the blocks and take it to Celtic, and it really wasn't. I think, to be honest, I think the first goal, Carney, really was a sucker punch for us. It really put us back. And then the penalty, as you say, put us back. But at half-time, I thought it was dead and buried. If I'm plainly honest, I thought it was dead and buried. I could not see us getting back. For me, at half-time, I was saying, you carry, I make three changes. And thanks very much, Charles, for the kind donation. But like Fabio Silva, for me, in the first half, Carney, the guy was utterly pathetic. I didn't want him anywhere near a Rangers jersey going forward. I just thought, and I know some of these guys like to fling themselves on the ground, and that's what they do, but I just thought, no, come on, mate. I thought he was embarrassing. He was the one that I really wanted off, but along with some other players. But at halftime, Carney, I honestly thought we chucked the league at that point, and that's what I didn't see us coming back, if I'm being honest.
No, we'll come to silver, mate. Don't worry, we'll definitely come to that. We'll come to our penalty. At half time, we make a change. But I say I expected three, I'm not going to lie, but we made a change. Because I thought in the first half, I thought Lawrence, Diomande, Tav, Goldson, Silva. Maybe not as much Dessers because they didn't have much to go on, but I thought we were getting nothing from them. I generally thought we weren't getting anything. Lundstrom was trying to cover all sorts of ground just on his own, and I thought all you're doing is knackering yourself, and it was becoming a real struggle for him as well to try and get any real control in the midfield. And we always seem to struggle against their three in the midfield, the way that we line up. But yeah, as a first half goes, one to forget. Scott Wright came off. I don't want to do a segment on Scott Wright. He just shouldn't be playing for Rangers. It really is as simple as that for me. He's just not good enough. Even though we're trying to change his game, it's just he's not good enough for me. Ishima comes on to replace him, and I thought he made a real difference. Played on the right hand side, and I think that's the first time I've ever seen Ishima on the right hand side. I think every time he's played, he was playing on the left. I can't remember him lining up on the right hand side. But yeah, as I say, we'll come to Silver's diving now. In the first half, Nicky, it was embarrassing. It really was embarrassing what he was doing. I'm not a fan of that. I don't know many people that are a fan of it. Look, it's something that's part of the game in other countries, but for me, it was all a wee bit too much. It was the wrong time for him to pick to try and do it as well, because we were a goal down, two goals down or whatever. You're like, right, get up. However, we'll come to the penalty. He does well to change his direction. He wrong foots Johnson. Johnson gets a touch on the ball, not going to say he doesn't, but he doesn't win possession of the ball, and he doesn't make Silva lose possession of the ball. He then hits him in the knee. It's a penalty, and this has caused a bit of outrage from some Moonhowlers and from some Celtic cheerleaders. It doesn't matter if he gets the ball. It honestly doesn't matter if he got a touch on the ball or not. That's kind of irrelevant at this point, because the ball was not going out. Silva had a chance of getting the ball. Silva had arguably beat the man. Even if he did get a slight graze on the ball, he hits him in the knee, it's a penalty. Am I incorrect about this?
No, you're spot on, mate. You're absolutely spot on. For what it's worth, I actually think John Beaton had an all right game. I think he got the three big
Agreed.
Decisions. The three big hard decisions spot on. Obviously he's missed some of them maybe in real time, but listen, that's why VAR's here, right? It's to give him a second look. The game's going 100 miles an hour. It's to give him an opportunity, and I think he rectified them with three right decisions. I think I've heard a lot of fucking shite, by the way, on this Fabio Silva. Apologies for the language, right? But I have heard some utter nonsense about, is this a penalty? Isn't it a penalty? This is clearer than half the penalties we've had this season. I think the latest one I heard was Kevin Kyle, by the way. I don't know if you've heard this today.
I've heard it, mate. Yeah, I've heard it.
Alistair Johnson was falling. So what's he meant to do with his leg? So apparently if you're a defender and falling, you can just do whatever the hell you want, right? Because
Even the way that he explained it, the way Kevin Kyle explained it, I thought, well, if anything, that shows good striker play or good wing play by Silva, because he's skint him and he's caused him to commit. He's drew the foul out of the player, which players do all the time. But Rangers aren't allowed to do that, obviously. Yeah,
100%. But listen, I think for me, I think you're spot on, Scott. I think the key thing for me is I've heard a lot of people say Alistair Johnson has won the ball. Alistair Johnson did not win the ball. Alistair Johnson was not coming out of that duel with the ball. Alistair Johnson touched the ball. But had Alistair Johnson not kicked Fabio Silva, Fabio Silva was past Alistair Johnson with the ball in the box, and Alistair Johnson is then connected with his leg just above the knee. Fabio Silva's theatrical again, by the way. I know we've spoken about some of his theatrics in the first half. Utterly embarrassing. The one where I think it's Alistair Johnson again, puts his hand up, touches his face. He goes down lit. He's been shot, holding his face, kicking his legs, rolling about. It's just an embarrassment.
It's a foul, but it is a foul. It is obstruction.
Of course it is. Yeah, of course it's a foul. But the way he's rolling about is just ridiculous, right? It's a foul. Got up and gone with it. And it's the same as that. It looks very theatrical. He has went down with a lot of energy, shall we say. And I think that's why a lot of people are going, it's a dive, but it's not a dive. As soon as you see the replays, you can see there's clear connection there. And as I say, the key factor for me in this, Scott, is Alistair Johnson hasn't won the ball. He's touched the ball, but he's not changed the direction back in Alistair Johnson's favour. Fabio Silva has passed him. He's in the box with the ball, with, let's face it, a shot at goal or an opportunity to cross the ball across the six-yard box. And Alistair Johnson brings him down. So it's 100% a penalty, mate. And like you actually thought it was good play by Fabio Silva because he completely wrong-footed him.
Yeah, Ali, look, I'm not going to... Beaton got the big calls right. I think you could open a whole can of worms about should Celtic have remained with 10 men, by 11 men on the park because of the number of fouls that were being committed. That could open a whole other can of worms, but I'm not going to go down there because there's no point. But we know the standard they're officiating in this country. But the big calls, I do think he probably got them. He probably got them correct. But Silva, I wasn't impressed with him, mate. I wasn't impressed. Okay, he did well to win that penalty for us, but everything else apart from that, I'm not impressed by him. I think the last few games he struggled. He looked like we'd found a space for him on that left-hand side, but for me, it doesn't really seem to work now. And again, he didn't offer enough. He really didn't offer enough the time that he was on the pitch. But we criticised James Tavernier as well, so you can have your say about Silva, but you can... criticised James Tavernier in the first half, but that penalty is superb. Absolutely top draw penalty to get us back to 2-1.
Yeah, you know, on Silva, I mean, I've had my say in Silva, to be honest. I just thought the guy was an embarrassment. I thought he was better in the second half, Carney. The team did pick up. I thought he was better. But what I've seen of Silva the last couple of games, for next season, getting him in another loan or potentially buying him, which is way out of our price bracket, even if Wolves drop it dramatically, no for me. He's not up for it to play in these big games. But the penalty for Tav, that's, I mean, for a guy that had an absolute shocking first half, Carney, a shocker. I did, out of the words, if he wasn't the Rangers captain, would he potentially been hooked at half-time? Or, because he had an absolute shocker. But big balls to stand up, Carney, and he put it right in it. What a penalty it was, by the way, in the top bin to get us back in it. So you've got to give Tav credit for that, but it was a fantastic penalty to him.
Absolutely superb, and he did show massive balls. Speaking of balls, time for a word from our sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know that one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? Testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. With April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, our friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for the early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use our promo code club at 22 for 20% off and free shipping. You can perform simple routine self-checks at home while enjoying Manscaped products you use every day, like the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. We use products daily to trim and maintain our boys down there. The Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra features two interchangeable skin safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth and sleek. With dual LED spotlights, you'll achieve better visibility, making every trim more precise and hassle free. This thing is waterproof. Shave in the shower, in the bath, or in the River Clyde if you're a bit of a crazy person. In addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfortable and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and giving support to fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That is why they will be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. Help save lives and balls by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and check the educational check yourself video. And while you're there, grab 20% off and free shipping with the code club at 22. Men's health and hygiene is at the core of Manscaped. It is the essence of their cause. Manscaped's partnership with Testicular Cancer Society will raise awareness on an issue that impacts men of all ages. Shave to save. We are very much delighted to be partnered with Manscaped for April for testicular cancer awareness month, and you've been told by us, check yourself. Head over to Manscaped and you'll find out just how to do so. So we were at the 2-1 stage. And talking about balls as well, Nicky, I blew my load, as I've said a couple of times, on the second goal that wasn't the disallowed goal. I honestly thought we'd done it. I did see the foul, I remember seeing it, and I thought Lawrence must have won that, because I thought Beaton was quite close to the incident that happened. Silva broke forward, Seymour's first attempt into the box didn't work, and then eventually it falls to Dessers, who puts it away. Ibrox goes absolutely mental. I mean, proper crazy, like European night, absolute mental. It went mad. I thought we were back in the game. I think it was the right call. I don't really know where we draw the line on this. Was it too far back? Did it happen in their half? Did Celtic touch the ball? Yes, but they weren't in control of the ball, yada yada. There's many things to go. If it was me, I always think when that's a kind of controversial decision, if it was me, would I accept it? You'd probably go, yeah, because Lawrence does foul the player. It's definitely a foul. But I thought after it, Nicky, I thought the adrenaline got took out the players at that point. I think everybody got a real buzz off it. I think the whole crowd did. And I think after it, there was a wee lull where we all thought, oh, maybe that isn't going to happen. And I thought it kind of took the real buzz out of the stadium just for a short time.
Oh, 100%, mate. I think we've went from the highs of VAR, where we get something against us and VAR helps us out, to the lows of VAR, where 50,000 people are going absolutely mental and it's cruelly taken away from us. And like you, I think it is a foul. I've seen a few clips on Twitter today suggesting that Lawrence maybe touched the ball. I don't think he does, and even if he does, yeah, it's the minimalist of touches. He does take Iwata, I think his name is, out of the game. Obviously, we break up the park and score. The phase of play piece is quite interesting, because it does say something along the lines of when you're in possession of the ball and when the opposition take possession of it, does that become a new phase of play? I think there was maybe three or four instances where Celtic players touched the ball. I think Seymour's original cross hits a Celtic player. I think the second cross hits a Celtic player. I think Joe Hart maybe makes a stop before Dessers puts in the second one, or a defender blocks it, whatever it is. I think you are right, though. They're never under control of the ball. It is kind of ricocheting about the box. And so, again, I do think it is the right call. But you're probably right, mate. I think we've obviously got the adrenaline off the penalty. It was a momentum-shifting moment. We're then on the ascendancy for the second goal. And then you're totally deflated, right? Because you're like, we're right back in it. There's plenty of time for us to even go and win it here, which, let's face it, 15, 20 minutes prior to that was completely unthinkable. It just kind of took the sting out of it a wee bit. I was probably the same as you guys. I did think, is this maybe going to be... Because we've seen this happen before, right? We've seen it at the first game at Ibrox. Celtic got a great goal under Kyogo. We attacked, albeit we had Beal version of Dessers and Sam Lammers, etc. But we attacked for the vast majority of that game, and we just couldn't break them down. And it was that feeling of, is this just going to be one of these games where for the last half hour we kind of throw a kitchen sink at it and we just can't really break them down, and they end up scraping a 2-1 result. But obviously we'll come on to it. We eventually do get the equaliser, but there was a wee 5-10 minute spell there where you thought, oh, I don't know if we're going to go over the line here.
Yeah. Ali, I thought Rangers were the better team. I thought we were in the ascendancy. Even after the disallowed goal, I still thought we were in control of the ball a lot more. I think Celtic maybe were sitting in slightly, maybe think about trying to catching us on the break. But it eventually came to Seymour. Seymour was the one that got a deflected shot to put it in the back of the net. At that point, mate, I wasn't caring how many players it hit before it hit the back of the net. It was just getting us back to two each. The goal we conceded after it, mate, is absolutely criminal. It really is. It is shockingly bad, because I thought we've got a chance here. We've got a chance. We could maybe nick one here. We knew there was going to be quite a lengthy period of additional time coming towards the end. I thought we've got a right chance here, because we looked the more pressing team. We looked like the team that was pushing for the goal. Rangers just switch off, really. We really just switch off. And they always say that your most... you're most at risk from conceding after you just score. Dow gets caught in kind of no man's land. He doesn't, he's not got the legs to track back the runner. The pass through to either Sterling and Suter have a kind of coming together, and Sterling tries to make an amends by it by getting a block in. It goes through his legs. It then beats Butland down to his left-hand side. I think you'd be super critical if you're trying to blame Butland. It is very close to him, but it was, and maybe seen it late, I'm not 100% sure. Thanks, Scotland is gifted 5 Rangers podcast memberships. I have still not found out what that means, but thank you so much. I don't know if you've chose people to give it to, and if you have, that's a magic to do something like that. But thank you so much. That's very much appreciated. But yeah, like, to concede the goal the way we did, that was a real hammer blow for me. I thought, I've seen this movie before. Remember Edward done it to us before, and I was like, I honestly, at 3-2, I thought, nah, it's not happening today.
It's the biggest Rangers thing ever to do, isn't it? I mean, yeah. If you thought the first goal popped the balloon at Ibrox, that was a killer, one, Carney, because to get back at 2-2, and like you say, we all knew there was going to be a lot of added time, just keep it tight for a couple of minutes and settle yourselves. And aye, there's a lot of players didn't cover themselves in glory. Dowell didn't cover himself in glory. I thought Kieran Dowell actually made a bit of a difference when he came in the park for Rangers. I thought he was quite direct and he moved with the ball, but he didn't cover himself in glory there. A few players didn't. Butland as well, for me, I know you say don't blame him. I'm not blaming him, but I thought he could have done better, along with the first goal as well, Butland. But it was a sucker punch, Carney. And at that point, I've turned to the guys beside me going, why is it always us? Why? And you're going, when's this going to change this luck? And it was at that point, Carney, I really didn't see us come back at all. I thought that's it. And you could see what it meant to the Celtic players who ran away to Brendan Rodgers at the side. They thought that was probably the moment that the league was going towards them at that point. But I didn't see us coming back. I thought it was it.
Same. I thought it was game set and match. I did, and you could even say that you're spot on about the way they celebrated it, mate. They very much thought it was them. They thought it was, they'd got it over the line. They'd got a big 3 points, especially after the second half had went. But 8 minutes added on time gets announced, and Robbie Matondo scores a Mark II version of his goal that he scored last week against Hibs. Nicky, this is absolutely superb by Matondo, and fair play to the guy, honestly. He's been sniffing about the fringes probably while Seam has been out. He got a bit of an injury as well, but to come back and the cut inside that he did, it was clearly a tactic, because as Lundstrom gets the ball at that point, he just gives it to Matondo and just steps back almost to give him the space to do so. When you see that angle, you can see from behind, I think the camera's behind him in the govern stand, and you see him hit that ball. It was in as soon as it left his boot. It was an absolute screamer. And honestly, see, when it went 3-3, I went, can we just go home now? Because I can't really take much more of this. But for Matondo, if anything, that goal deserved at least a point from that game.
No, agreed, mate. Just to very quickly go back on the Celtic 3-2 goal, it all starts for Todd Cantwell, by the way. Todd Cantwell shits a 50-50 on a halfway line that allows them to break up the park. Now, Todd Cantwell is very quick to fire a wee picture on his Instagram of him fighting with Celtic players after the game, right? I would much rather see a picture of him rattling somebody in a 50-50 tackle that stops them breaking up the park and scoring, right? But yeah, Matondo, I mean, it's a carbon copy of last week. I think I seen an article the other day saying he's been working with some sort of coach that's been training kind of Premier League players. I think he's trying to work on, they almost call it the kind of Henri-esque goal, isn't it? Because Henri obviously always played on that kind of, although he's a centre forward, right? He always kind of dwindled out in the left-hand side. His kind of trademark was coming in on his right foot and bending one into the kind of far corner. So I don't know if he's kind of been working on that, but it's an unbelievable goal. I think Matondo offers us something. I honestly do. I think Matondo's got something that he can offer us. We talk about Celtic and the problems that they cause our centre-halves, Maeda, Kyogo. Pace causes chaos in defenders, right? It's the one thing that defenders just do not like, is people who will just run at them relentlessly and go by, put the ball by them and just go by them. They need to be doing 3 and 4 step overs like Ryan Kent used to do. See somebody who's just direct. Seamer's like it as well. He's big, aggressive. He's a strong runner. He'll put the ball by you and he'll go by you. And Matondo does the exact same as well. But it's an unbelievable goal. I think there was a video floating about Twitter. Somebody captured a perfect angle basically right behind him. And it wasn't quite Henry-esque where it's like kind of curved in. It almost hits the kind of top of the ball and it goes up and kind of dips over Joe Hart. But it's a brilliant goal. And I know we've kind of spoke about Fabio Silva. Although he won the penalty, I do think Fabio Silva was one of the decisions that Clement did get wrong. I think we should have went with Simar Matondo on there. I think if you look at Alistair Johnson, he's had a lot of joy against our left wings over the past couple of years that he's been at Celtic. I would have went with Simar Matondo, just that kind of raw energy, raw pace. Even if Simar could have only given us 60 minutes or whatever he had in the tank. Matondo was probably similar, given he's been coming back from a layoff as well. I would have went with him. And I think moving forward, we have, what is it, seven cup finals left to win this title. We need to be almost flawless. And I would like to see us. I think Dessers has nailed down the number nine. I don't think Fabio Silva gets a sniff at number nine. Roof, who knows where the hell he is. I think a week ago we were told Roof was ready for 90 minutes and we've not seen him since, right? But I would like to see a combination of the likes of Matondo, Sima, Dessers. I think Dessers he's not the quickest, but he's a willing runner. I actually think, for what it's worth, Dessers played quite well at the weekend. I think Dessers done well with very little to work off. I'd like to see Matondo and Sima on both the wings because I think they'll cause chaos, right? That raw power, that raw energy, I think just causes teams problems. And I'd like to see them get a chance for the rest of the season because it doesn't look like we're going to see Danilo or Cortez. I think there was a comment made today that we might see them, but listen, I think game time is going to be fairly limited for the two. So I'd like to see Matondo and Sima get a chance.
Yeah, and Curry said one thing we need to do for next season is do whatever we need to bring Sima. I think I agree with that. I think if Rangers can get a deal done there for Sima, I would be very much looking to keep him at the club. I do like him.
I'm pretty sure Sima's only got a year left in his contract, by the way. I think this summer he goes into the last 12 months at Brighton. So I know they paid a healthy fee. They paid, what, £8 or £9 million for him or something. You'd be able to get him at a decent price. I know Brighton are very shrewd in their business, right? They've done wonderful things in the transfer market over the last sort of 5-10 years. But I do think there is a deal to be had with Sima, and I would agree with you, Scott. I think we should do everything because, again, Sima's been missing for a vast period of this season. He's still right up the top of the goal-scoring charts. Mm-hmm. Taking Shankland aside, Sima would be the top goal-scorer in this league, I think, if he'd been playing the last 2-3 months.
Yeah, you're probably right, mate. Yeah, there's probably a shout in that. Ali, the game finishes 3-3. Matondo does a wonder strike to get the point. Now, it's not often we score 4 goals against Celtic in the second half. I know one was disallowed, but we still scored 4 goals against Celtic in one half. I can't really remember off the top of my head the last time that happened. It's been over 35 years since the Old Firm teams come back from 2-0 down in order to get something out of the game. So this isn't something that happens very often. Where does it leave us now after that game? Did you learn anything? Do you feel like you've learned anything about the team? Are you still very much on the opinion that we should have won that, or do the team deserve some element of credit for the way that they responded in the second half? Because the players have come out and said Clement wasn't going to tell anybody what he said at halftime. The two players of Matondo and Dessers have both said, basically the manager said that he didn't recognise the team, which I think is quite right. It was by far the worst under Clement and probably one of the worst, if not the worst, that we've seen from this team this season in that first half. But where do you think it leaves us now?
I think I kind of said it at the beginning. To me, they've let us down against Celtic again for me. The chance was there, Carney. A full Ibrox. Couldn't ask for a better chance. Rangers were playing well in terms of under Clement. It's not taught me much, Carney. It's taught me what these players have continually let us down against Celtic. When was the last time Rangers actually won a meaningful game against Celtic? You're going way back to probably the semi-final, I think. Was it Hampden's? Probably the last one that actually meant something. So for me, they had a big chance and they let us down. Yes, they did very well to come back in the second half, Carney. I will give them credit for that because I thought it was done. Ultimately, the league table is as it was. If Rangers go to Dens tomorrow night and win, they'll go 2 points clear. So some folk will say I'm maybe quite negative because if you look at it that way, Rangers can go top of the league. I just think psychologically and the way the games are coming and we have to go to Parkhead, we can't win at Parkhead. When was the last time we won at Parkhead? I think it was a Katic one, I think, way back then. Yeah. So they need to show something going there, Rangers. And they haven't shown me anything that gives me confidence. So I'll be honest, disappointed. And it's sad to say that because we can go 2 points clear tomorrow night with seven games to go and look where we were away back under Michael Beale, 7-8 points behind and stuff. But we just had a massive chance on Sunday and I just thought we blew it.
I think my glass is more half full, to be honest. I'm more half full than I'm
half empty.
I'm always
half empty, to be honest.
No, I know, mate. I know. You always are. But I think I am. And again, maybe I'm being a bit blindsided by that and I'm not thinking that. And I'm being a hypocrite to myself because of what I said. But just due to the way the game went, for us to come back anyway in the second half, the way that we did, even though we still had a calamity in us in that second half, I was still thinking, really, when all push comes to shove, we're still very much in it. I think we're going to be in a better place. Would you like to think we've been a better place squad wise by the time our trip to Parkhead comes around? And you kind of never know. You never know. If we win all our games and draw that game against Celtic, then we're champions. And I think we could be capable of getting a draw there. That's what I'm thinking. That's my thinking behind it all. Nicky, do you learn anything? Anything change for you?
Nah, I'm very much on the fence, mate. I think on one hand, I kind of go, how much did the weather play into it, right? Because you look at that first half, we were shocking. Celtic dominated. You then flip the halves, right? And Celtic weren't as bad as we were in that first half, but we dominated, right? We scored 4 goals, albeit one was chopped off. So, but then on the flip, you kind of go, it's the same old story. It's the same players letting us down against Celtic. Celtic don't do anything outrageous, by the way. Celtic do the same thing against us every fucking time they play us, right? The press is high and we still kind of deal with it. We cannot seem to adapt to it, right? There must be somebody out there who can galvanise us to be able to either A, play through a press, which we've done very, very effectively in previous fixtures, particularly under Gerrard, or do you change up the dynamic? Do you go longer ball? Do you get them turning? Do you know what I mean? You almost trap the three or four players that they've got pressing in our half and we go and try and play it in their half. So I'm very much on the fence at the minute. I do think it was an opportunity dropped. I said a few weeks ago, I felt if we beat Celtic, beat Dundee and beat Ross County, we'd win a league, right? Because we'd be 5 points clear going into the split. It looks at the minute, assuming we get a result tomorrow, we will go into the split 2 points ahead, but as we've alluded to, I think they have easier fixtures. But I'm not writing off Parkhead. I think we haven't got a great record there, Ali. I think the last time we won was probably the 2-0 COVID Goldson double game. And then we drew, I think, later on that season. So we have, and to be honest, Parkhead should suit us to a degree because it's the way we set up in the vast majority of our European games. We've got a shape, we've got a structure, we're hard to beat, we play on the counter-attack. And as you say, Scott, we will be in a better position going into that game because you'll have people like, touch wood, Sima, Matondo, up to speed. They might suit us in a game where we need to play counter-attack in football, right? Where we can play a ball up the top, you've got runners and Dessers, Matondo, Sima. Maybe we can get a result. We don't need to necessarily win it. As you say, if we take care of our business against the other six teams, and we managed to get a draw there, then we're champions. So I think they're probably slightly in the driving seat, but I'm not writing us off yet. I still think we could win it. But we need to be flawless.
Yeah. Yeah, we need to be flawless. So will they, though. That's the thing. They're going to need to be flawless as well. Both teams are going to need to be the same to give a fighting chance. I don't think either team really can hold that. It's like, I know we're talking about a draw, but obviously in the grander scale of things, obviously nobody benefits from a draw. But I mean, in the sense of, I don't think either team would be thinking that they got the best of either team or anything like that, or they get the best of us, we get the best of them. But I think psychologically for us, I think it was massive that we got something from that game just due to the way that it went. And we managed to do so. So I'm going to remain positive for this one. I'm going to try and remain as positive as I can.
The only one thing I will say, Scott, just before we move on, is there's been a lot been made about Celtic. I've got all the home fixtures. Celtic haven't been great at home. You look at Celtic's fixtures and the result this year, they've dropped a lot of points at home. They get beat off Hearts at home. I think they dropped points to Kilmarnock at home. I think Motherwell as well. There's been a few other games as well. So it's not necessarily just a case of, we've got all the away games, so we're going to drop points. As you say, they need to be flawless as well. And although they look easier on paper because they're at home, that's not necessarily how it'll pan out.
Yeah. We're still a way to go yet. As I say, the roller coaster's not for ending. We've still got quite a bit to go yet. And it all starts tomorrow night. So Dundee or not to Dundee, that is the question. The game is still under threat due to their absolute cowfield of a pitch. Apparently Dundee have done all they can, according to their managing director, or one of their directors anyway. They won't seek an alternative venue if it is postponed at Dens. Not really surprised by that. Apparently there's going to be an update at 11 a.m. tomorrow. Early picks inspection tomorrow, and there'll be an update to travelling supports as soon as after that as possible. The club have promised to get word out for it. They claim to have covered parts of the pitch that were a problem, but we'll just need to wait and see before we can really pass any great more judgment on that. An injury update from today's press conference is that Roof and Raskin might be in the squad, with no explanation really of where they've been. Jack is probably out for the rest of the season, and that's probably the end of him at Rangers, because he's had another problem with his calf. Radvan's still not fit for the squad, and we're unlikely to see Cortez and Danilo for the rest of the season. Ali, if the game doesn't go ahead, they're saying that they're going to play it again next week. I don't think that's acceptable. I really don't. Like, we'll be playing it midweek next week. It isn't really acceptable for Dundee not to have something sorted and for the league to have not stepped in at this point. I'm not going to sit here and put my tinfoil hat on and say we should just get the points, but we can't continue to go down this all the time just because it rains a little bit in Scotland that we can't play football on a pitch. They are in the process, obviously, of moving, but what's your thoughts ahead of the game if it does go ahead?
Like I said to you off camera, I was in Monifieth today, which is right beside Dundee, so I went through Dundee today, and it was pishing with rain. The guy I was actually going to see, he's a Dundee fan, he goes to Dundee games, and I was asking him what the hell's up your park, and he basically said to me, Carney, as you says, they are moving stadium, so they are not spending any money on Dens. But it's a shambles, Carney, that this chairman they've got, this American, whatever it is, guy that comes out and goes, the first game he went, oh, we could play it at 3 o'clock. How can he start dictating when we can play games? And you've got Sky TV there as well, and he's now saying, if we can't play tomorrow, we can maybe play on Thursday, or if no, we can maybe play next week as well. Let's get on. It makes Scottish football an absolute joke, Carney, especially when there's a stadium across the road from them in Tannadice, which is perfectly fine. So it's embarrassing, but if the game's on tomorrow, Carney, and I hope it's on tomorrow, Rangers should go up there and take care of them. The pitch will be a bit of a level, though, Carney. Guys like Matondo, doesn't play there. I mean, there's sand all over the park and stuff. It's not a game for ball, guys that like to run with a ball, basically. So I think it'll be a tricky one, Carney, but we should have more than enough to go up to Dens and take care of them.
Yeah, Nicky, your thoughts ahead of the game tomorrow night? Should it go ahead?
Shambles, as you guys have alluded to, the SPFL need to be harder on Dundee with this, right? Oh, it's this four fixtures they've already had postponed. It was another circus with Motherwell at the weekend. It's another circus tomorrow night. I think Clement was very vocal today about wanting to know today, right? And you should know today, right? You think about preparation. If this gets binned tomorrow morning, you've basically lost a day where you could be preparing for the next game or doing whatever, right? So it's just a shambles. And the SPFL should have been harder on Dundee to say, listen, between now and the end of the season, you can't have any more fixtures postponed. So you need to have a contingency in place, or this is the punishment, whether that's a fine or a point deduction. I know I'm being a bit extreme here, but It's for the SPFL to say what the punishment should be to make sure that they are putting the required efforts and resources into to make sure that that pitch is playable. But I agree with Ali. I think it will be a leveller. You mentioned there that they've covered parts of the park that are in. I mean, what they covered it with sand, right? Because it looked like the beach for the pictures I've seen during the weekend there. So it will be a leveller, mate. But like yous, I want it played. It's been dragging on too long. I don't like being the team who's playing catch up, particularly when it's games. So I would rather just get it played. I would rather go win it, go top of the league, and then you kind of get one more fixture before you then go into the split. And ideally, at the end of that, we're top of the league as opposed to still be talking about playing catch-up games.
Yeah, and on to that, we'll move on to, I'm ashamed, I think Rangers should be going there and winning no matter what pitch we're playing on. I just really hope it goes ahead. I can't be bothered with it rolling on and on now, and I don't think Dundee deserve the privilege for it to get rolling on and on and on. And again, I'm not saying, yes I am, I should give just Geezer points, just Geezer points, that'll do. We'll be happy to accept that. But I still think most of them have been done for travelling fans. I think they still had tickets refunded and stuff like that for the way it was handled the first time, but obviously nothing's been done like that, of course it hasn't. Right, with that we'll move on to teams and scores. And one guy in particular, Nicky, I want to have a wee say about before we move on. Should we be concerned about the form of Conor Goldson?
Oh, I'm done with Conor Goldson, mate. I think Conor Goldson and Tav, we spoke about, right, they had a horror show. Tav, first half, horror show. Goldson, 90 minutes, complete and utter horror show. We always know what we get with Tav, right? When Tav first came defensively, he was so poor. And teams went at him. Teams pinpointed him as a weakness. Tav has improved massively defensively. So has Conor Goldson since he came. What you get with Tav, though, is you get an output at the other end of the field that you can almost write off some of his defensive frailties with, because you almost go, right, we kind of get it. We are Rangers, right? We're not Man United. So you are going to get players who have weaknesses, and James Tavernier, unfortunately, has weaknesses. But he gives you so much at the other end of the field that you can almost write off parts of that. Conor Goldson at the minute, I said that a few weeks ago in the pod, right? He's strolling about with his socks down at his ankles, kidding on his brazy, right? He is miles off it at the minute, miles off it. If I need to see Conor Goldson running the full length of the park one more time, mouthing fuck off, because yet another corner has landed on his forehead, and he's not managed to hit the target way, I'm going to lose it, right? Honestly, I can't. He just offers nothing at the minute. He's all over the place. He's completely devoid of confidence. You think of even his basic touches against Celtic, he shit the bed. He completely shit the bed on Sunday, sorry. He's terrified of Maeda, Kyogo, the pace. Even that Adam Ida, right? He's an absolute dodo of a player. He was on the park 5 minutes, robs Conor Goldson, and they nearly score because he's in the box. Yeah. O'Reilly was another one I mentioned to you. He falls down, pathetic. He's very lucky to get the free kick. I think Goldson will start, but for me, our centre-backs need major surgery in the summer, mate. Honestly, I don't want to see any of them. Suter's the only one I'd keep, and I'd keep him largely because of the homegrown rule more than anything else.
Well, I thought in the second half against Celtic,
I think I said this, Scott. He's playing left centre back. He's not a left centre back. Mm. Maybe if you moved him to the right centre back, you'd get a bit more out, Suter. But people like Balogun, Ben Davies, Conor Goldson, we need major surgery. I don't want to see any of them come August next season. I honestly think if we've got funds kicking about, whatever happens this season, we've got areas of the park we need to spend. I think centre back's one of the key areas we need to spend big money on.
Yeah, Ali, your thoughts on Goldson? I did mean to bring it up earlier on. There's no getting away from that he was pretty terrible on Sunday, and it's not the first time that we've seen a wee bit of a decline in Conor Goldson's form recently. What's your thoughts on Goldson? And you can give your team your score after that.
He's been poor, Goldson. I mean, I've stuck up for Conor Goldson in this podcast and slaughtered a few times with people on it. But no, he's not been great recently, Goldson. The problem is, as Nicky says, so you've got guys like you've got Balogun, Ben Davies. Who do you bring in to really replace him? at the moment. So he'll play. I think he's a discussion for next season, Carney Goldson, in terms of, I agree, the back line needs surgery next year, and in particular the centre-half. So we'll see what happens there. But he'll start. So my team will be Butland. I'll be surprised if he's had the same team as me, right? So Butland, Tav, Goldson, Suter. Barisic isn't going to play. So it'll be Sterling. A midfield of Lundstrom. I'm playing Kieran Dowell in there as well. But Cantwell. Seema on the left. Dessers through the middle. And McCausland on the right-hand side. I'm going to go 2-0 Rangers. Dessers first goal scorer.
Yeah, my team's not far off that, mate, to be honest. I don't see Dow starting, however. I think he'll stick with Diamond there. He might play Raskin. If Raskin is deemed to be fit in the middle of the park, I think the back line will be that. I don't see Barisic playing. I think Lawrence will come out. I think Cantwell will come in there. I think, I'll go with the same. I can't think. No, well, in fact, do what? I'm going to be fair to Matondo. I'll give Matondo a start on the left hand side. I put Seema on the right because I thought Seema actually was quite good on the right hand side, even though he has been playing on the left for us, and Dessers through the middle. I think Silva has to come out. And the Goldson one for me, I'm concerned about his form. I think it is one for the summer. He will play, that's the thing, because I don't think Balogun's played enough football for him to come in on Wednesday night straight from the start. So I think Goldson will play. I'll also go for 2-0 Rangers, and I'll go for Cantwell to score. Nicky, your team and your score?
I think Conor Goldson will play, although he's been really, really poor. Our lack of alternatives is short. But I think Butland, I think it'll be Tavernier, Goldson, John Suter. I think Barisic might come back in tomorrow actually. I'm absolutely buzzing about saying that. I think Barisic will come back in. I think I can't remember if it was yourself, Scott or Ali, you made a really good point. I don't think tomorrow night will be a game for pretty footballers and running and doing silky stuff with the ball. I think it's going to be a battle, and I think he'll pick his team to try and adapt to that. So I actually think it'll probably be Diamandé and Looney. I think we'll keep their position. I think Sterling might go to the right wing because he's a battler. He'll get up and down. He'll cause problems. Maybe. I think Cantwell will replace Lawrence, as you say. I think Seema will be on the left-hand side. And I think Dessers will come on. And I think what that option gives you is you can allow Seema to maybe go and play as a bit of a two with Dessers at times, and you can go longer. Sterling can then kind of fill in and support the midfield a wee bit. So I think it'll maybe be that. But likewise, I actually think it'll be 2-0 as well. And I'm going for D9 to hit his ninth and almost get Jamie to the magic number 10.
Yeah, Jamie will be absolutely buzzing about that. So yeah, we will be back with a club reaction pod tomorrow after the game. Hopefully I'm speaking to you after 3 points. That's really all we're looking for now, is the end of the season, just 3 points in every game, and we'll be just fine. But hopefully the game does go ahead. For tonight, Nicky, thanks very much.
Thanks for having us. Good to have a wee break from changing nappies. So that was good to see you boys. And hopefully a good result tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. Ali, thank you very much.
No problem. Look forward to hopefully tomorrow night watching Rangers up at Dundee and regaining top spot in the league.
That's what you've got to hope for. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in tonight and a bit of an impromptu live Club Debt Corner. I'd only put it up a few hours ago that we were going live, so I appreciate everybody joining in. Thank you for the donations, the new channel members as well, and the gift of the channel membership as well. That's very, very nice of you. So, yeah, we'll speak to you tomorrow after, hopefully, we see a game of football in Dundee, if you can call it football on that pitch, but hopefully it's 3 points for Rangers and down the road. No injuries, no dramas, just a routine win would do just nicely. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. We'll speak to you tomorrow. We have been Club at 22, the Rangers podcast. Cheers, everybody.
Sports Social Podcast Network.